Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom. We learned that the Mishnah taught us that by indicating that Dinei Mamonos mean Gezeilus v'Chavolos as requiring three Dayanim, from that we learn that Hadas v'Havas do need three Dayanim, but they don't have to be Mumchim. They don't have to be individuals who have smicha going back all the way to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So to understand the Gemara, we have to refer back to Gemara that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Torah says that if somebody is a shomer over an object, and then the person who was the Shomer claims that this object was stolen, the Torah says he has to make a shvua. And the wording of the Torah HaKadosh is, Ashiyomer ki huzeh. And from there, the Gemara says that one is only obligated to make a shvua if he is a moed b'miksus. He's partially admitting to what the claim is against him, and he's partially not admitting to the claim against him. And the Gemara over there says that this pasuk, even though it's stated in the parasha of Shomrim, the pasuk really is referring to the parasha of Mekesef Talvas Ami, that when somebody claims to someone else that you lent me, that I lent you money, and the person admits that he owes part of it, but he doesn't owe all of it, that he has to make, that's the case of a shua moed b'miksus. And the Gemara over there says the way we understand this is that erev parashas Kosef Kan, that even though the parasha is the pasuk of Kiuzeh, the pasuk of moed b'miksus appears in the parasha of Shomrim, it really refers to the parasha of Halvah. And over here we have a very fundamental machloikus Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi's opinion is what the Torah is telling me to teach us, that only in the parasha of Halvah is the din of moide b'miksus. Why? Because somebody lent me money, and there's a chazaka throughout Shas, ein odem meis choyvoi, ein meis pana b'fnei bal choyvoi. For me to look at the person whom I owe money to and say I owe nothing is complicated, is difficult. And therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a moed b'miksus, I'll say I own you part of it. And because there's a strong possibility in the case of a moed b'miksus that I'm really not saying the truth, that's where the Torah says the halacha of a shvua. But b'kodin, where that consideration doesn't exist, I'm watching your pekudin. I'm not. By me watching your pekudin, I'm doing you a favor. So this entire concept doesn't apply, and the din of moed b'miksus, according to Rashi, does not apply by Shomrim. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that what the Gemara means by saying erev parashas is that the Gemara means to say that in both of these that both by Shomrim and by Halvah, there's a din of moed b'miksus. So now the Gemara wants to connect this question, or what we just said, of moed b'miksus with that it says by Shomrim, but really speaks about Halvah. The Parashah wants to connect that to the question of, the Gemara wants to connect it to the question that we are discussing in our shir, of how many people and what type of dayanim are required for what type of dinei Torah. The B'dayi Soscher, in his Sefer Dvarim Achodim, tries to understand what is pshat. If the Torah wanted to teach us the din of moed b'miksus by Halvah, so the Torah should have said it there. Why did the Torah tell us the din of moed b'miksus somewhere else? He says that we find that people who spend their lives trying to amass money, and it's not really for themselves, as the Chayvus Halvavus speaks about the person who built this beautiful mansion, and he, the entire purpose of that mansion being built was that somebody who's traveling, a tzaddik who's traveling the road, should have where to sit in the shade of that mansion. And that's, he says, is the parasha of Yom Kippur. The Torah is saying that we gave this world to Shomrim, the person Kihuzeh, but he won't have Hano, he won't have any pleasure from that money. Rather, that money that he has will only be here for people that come afterwards. He's going to be a Moida B'Mixas. He's only going to have partial enjoyment from that money. So ask the Gemara, my Kesavah, the Tanavah Mishnah that says that we don't have to have Dayanim Mumchim for Hidos V'Havos, but we have to have three Dayanim. How do we understand his opinion? Ikasava Eir Parshas Kan, that in the Parsha of Shomrim, where it says Hashem Kuzer, it's really speaking about Im Kesav Talvas Ami. So if that's the case, the word Elohim, which is mentioned in that parasha, is referring to Havas also. Because we're saying that the parasha of Shomrim, where the Torah keeps on using the word Elohim, doesn't only speak about Shomrim the way we're learning now, if we say Ira Parashas. It's also speaking about Havas. So if that's the case, if the word Elohim is referring to Havas, so the halacha ought to be the Leboy Nami Mumchim, that we should have to have Mumchim by Havas. Vikasov, and if he holds that no, that the words Kihuzeh, that the Torah Akdosha states by the Parsha of Shomrim, is only referring, as is the Pashta Pshat in the Pasuk, by only referring to Shomrim. So the word Elohim and the fact that it says three times is not stated at all in the Parsha of Hava. So why would Shlosh Elamali, why would we need to have three Dayanim? Answers the Gemara, correct. Loilam Kosova, the Tana holds Ir Parshas Kosov Kan. And that the Parsha of Mkesav Talvas Ami is mixed together with the Parsha of Shomrim. And by having them mixed, it's as if the Torah says the word Elohim by them as well. And therefore, Ubedinu Dlabai Mimchim, the Aloch is that really the only Dayanim that should be capable of doing a Din Torah of Havas are people who have that smicha. So why are we learning that they don't need smicha? V'hai d'loi b'in ha-mimchim. And the reason that we don't require smicha is for a whole new reason. Shum de Rav Chanina, because of what Rav Chanina taught us. Dama Rav Chanina, d'va toira, mid'araisa echadinim mamnes v'echadinim nefashis, both dinim mamnes and both dinim nefashis. When we go through the procedure, the edim should have to have drisha v'chakira. We're going to learn later in our Masechta a whole series of questions and interrogation that Edom have to go through. Shinema, as the Torah says, Umaka behemi shalmena maka adam yumos, mishpat echod yilachem, that the aloch of dinim mominus and dinim nefoshes should be the same. And therefore, just by dinim nefoshes, the aloch is that you have to have drisha v'chakira, so too should be the aloch by all dinim mominus. So why is the halacha that by dinim mamnas drisha chakira is not required? There's a new consideration. Kadesh lo yitin al dalos b'fnei lovin, that people should not come to avoid lending money. If lending money will become so complicated that when I want to collect my money, I'm going to have a whole back and forth, so nobody's going to want to lend money. And in order to avoid that, Chazal made it easier and didn't require drisha b'chakira. So the Achrayim ask, we could understand that Chazal have the right to say that we don't have to have drisha b'chakira because Chazal b'shev al taisa, Chazal could undo a rule, undo a din d'araisa by saying just you don't have to do it. But by saying that we can have dayanim who are not mumchim, that's bekuvasei. We're taking dayanim who are really not qualified and making them into dayanim. Another question is, how could that be acceptable? So the Sefer Sanhedrin Ketan explains, the reason it's acceptable is because the special rule of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and with that rule they have even the right to undo the requirement to have Mumchim. So now the question is, so we could understand that there's no reason for Mumchim in a case of Avos, because Kadesh Leitinel Dals B'fnei Lovin. But how are we to understand Gzelus or other types of situation where they don't require, why we don't require Drisha V'chakira? So the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is that by other Dine Mominus, since Drish V'chakira is so complicated, so that's why, again, in order that there should be a sense of civil law, they required that there should be, we waive certain rules. Elame ato, so ask the Gemara, now that we've established that we don't have to have Dayanim Mumchim for Hadas V'Avas, so the halacha ought to be told, the halacha is that if a Dayan Mumcha makes a mistake, since in his psak, we're going to learn a mitzvah Shem later in the Masechta on Daf Lama Gimel and Aleph, that if he makes a mistake, he's not held financially responsible. If, when it comes to these kind of din Torah, everybody is considered acceptable to be a dayan, the halacha should be that they should also be exempt. They should exempt from paying. And as I saw the Rishonim have a number of approaches to understand this Gemara. Why is a dayan mumcha exempt from paying when he made a mistake? The reason a dayan mumcha is exempt from paying when he makes a mistake is because he has rishus to paskin distant Torah. And he also, if we don't have to have this type of a dayan, it should be considered that he has rishus. Another way I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara, if we're so concerned that, and we're being lenient, because Shloitinel Dels B'fnei Lovin, so then that concept should be applicable in all circumstances. Says the Gemara, on the contrary, we just explained the reason we could suggest that we don't need to have Dayana Mumchim is because Shloitinel Dels B'fnei Lovin. So what's going to happen? We're going to have Dayanim who don't know what they're doing. And therefore, we're going to certainly have a situation at the Noel Dalsmith Nelovin. If people know that if it's an entire word of mistake, the people who make the mistake will not be held responsible, again, they'll never want to pass in a Shiloh. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, that was saying that Hadas Vavos need three Dayanim, but we're saying that anybody is kosher. So why, when the Mishnah says, the Gemara asked right away as we started our Masechta, why does the Mishnah say Dinim Manus B'Shloisha, Gzeilus V'Chavolus B'Shloisha? And the Mishnah says that Gzeilus V'Chavolus is, the Mishnah is explaining that when we say Dinim Manus B'Shloisha, it means Gzeilus V'Chavolus Tatik Tani. Mishnah is teaching us two separate Dinim. Dinim Manus Hadas V'Avos B'Shloisha, that you have three, and those three dayanim ahejoitis, and there's another halacha that's being taught, the gzeilus v'chavolus b'shloisha mumchem, have to have three experts. So ask the Gemara, if that's what the Gemara said, why do we have to say that the Mishnah is to be understood, dinech mominus, the gzeilus v'chavolus are an explanation of dinech mominus? It's not an explanation, because everything requires shloisha. Why shloisha shloisha lamali? Why did the Mishnah have to say the word? If that's the way to understand the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah have to say the word that dinim mamnas b'shloisha? And then the next words gzeilus v'chavolus b'shloisha are just just to understand what was meant by dinim mamnas. So the first question is, what's it coming to exclude? It's not coming to exclude gzeilus v'chavolus, because the way we're learning now, it's not coming to exclude Hadas V'Avos, I mean, because the way we're learning now, Hadas V'Avos also requires three Dayanim. And the other question is, if it's to be understood as really one phrase, Dine Mamnus Bishloisha. And what is meant with Dine Mamnus? Gzeilus v'chavolus. So why does the Mishnah repeat the word Shloisha Lomeli? Elamaravatati Kama. The Mishnah is saying two separate dinim. First, the Mishnah is saying is the Dine Mamnus of Hados or Avos. You have three hajoitis. And the second thing is that Gzeilus v'chavolus, you have three dayonim, and they have to be mumchim. And the reason why by hodos v'alvos we don't have to have mumchim is the reason is because, as we said before, mishum derav chanina, because of what Rav Chanina taught us, shleitinal dals b'fnei lovin. In other words, what the Gemara is teaching us is that erev parashias kosov kan, and the Torah combines the parasha of halva and the parasha of gzeilus, and therefore by both of them three mumchim are required. But by Hadas Vavas, Chazal relaxed the requirement of Mumchem because of the reason of Shleitin and Dals with Neilovin. The Gemara now comes to explain that Rav Acha's opinion is that by Hadas Vavas, you don't need to have three Dayanim. And the way to understand the Mishnah, Rav Acha read Rav Acha Amar, is Midarais Sechad Nami Kosher. By Hadas Vavas, indeed, are very different than Gzeilus v'Chavolus. And you don't need to have three dayonim. Shenemar, and the reason is because the pasuk says, "Betzadik tishvad amisecha." And according to this explanation, Rav Acha is very much disagreeing, and Rav Acha doesn't hold erev parshas kosov kan, and he's going to say that by the raisa you don't need to have three dayonim by hados vavos. So if that's the case, why is the halacha that you have to have three dayonim by hados vavos? Mishum Yoshvi Koronis. We're concerned that you're going to have dayanim who are completely illiterate and don't know anything. And because of that, the Chazal required that we should have dayanim that the people who are not Yoshvi Koronis. The Yoshvi Koronis were considered people who sat and just drank and didn't spend their time with the right way. So now there's a very big machlokes rishonim. Rav Acha Rei de Ravik is saying that the Torah says, "Betzedek tishbar amisecha," that one dayan is enough. And the question is, that one dayan that even Rav Acha agrees you have to have, does it have to be a person who is a mumcha? Or was the Torah, when it says, "Betzedek tishbar amisecha," say that even one dayan is enough, and that dayan need not be a mumcha or also? Also, that's Machlokes Rishonim. Another question is, who are considered the Yoshvei Kronius? So what is the issue? So Rashi seems to learn that we're concerned for a mistake, and therefore we can't have people who are not knowledgeable. Tosfos says, it's not because we're concerned about a mistake. Tosfos says, you have to have somebody who knows what they're talking about. And if the people are Yoshvei Kronius, then they're not just worried about a mistake. They're disqualified to be a dayan. Here we're learning that the Torah HaKadosh says, "B'tzedek tishbar amisecha." The Torah requires that a dayan be knowledgeable and pass kenshayla. So the Rishonim ask, so why before a dayan or dayonim begin a din Torah, don't they have to make a bracha that they're fulfilling the mitzvah, "B'tzedek tishbar amisecha"? So the Rashba and the Shal Sar Tshuvas HaRashba says that we never make a bracha on something that depends on somebody else. And here, the dayan may pass in the shayla, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be fulfilled. And I saw two ways how to understand that. Number one, it means they just may ignore the psak of the dayan. Or number two, as the din Torah commences, what may happen is that they will work it out between themselves, and there will be no need for a further din Torah, and it'll turn out that the bracha was a bracha levatola. Another pshat is that another reason that I saw that the Chasam Soif suggests is that in the two ways of understanding what the Chasam Soif means. One is, what is the genesis of a din Torah? What causes that there should be a din Torah is day is the fact that there was a dispute. Something that came through a klola, something that came because two Jews were arguing, is not something we make a bracha on. Another pshat in the Chasam Sofer is that, as we know, as we just said, not everybody always follows the psak of the dayanim. And since not everybody always follows the psak of the dayanim, and we're going to have to force them to follow the psak, so that again is something which is a negative. And again, and anything which is a negative, we don't make a bracha. Another reason that the Chasam Sofer suggests that we don't make a bracha on a din Torah is because the dayanim maybe make a mistake, and therefore it'll turn out that they weren't mekayim the mitzvah of B'tzadik Mishpat HaMesechah. And then there's a Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos Halacha Beis says, "V'kol mitzvah saseh shebein odom l'makom." Any mitzvah which is a ben adam l'makom mitzvah, bein mitzvah she'ena chayva, whether it's not an obligatory mitzvah, bein mitzvah she'chayva, it's a mitzvah that you're obligated to do, b'varach aleihem kaidim lasiyasam. Says the Kesef Mishnah, what does the Rambam mean to say, v'kol mitzvah say she'ben adam l'makom, that only on mitzvahs that are ben adam l'makom do we make a bracha. On a mitzvah that's ben adam l'chaveroi, we don't make a bracha. And therefore, the halacha is that for din Torah, which is strictly ben adam l'chaveri, two people are having this disagreement, we don't make a bracha. And then I saw the Kli Chemda says that we don't make a bracha. He discusses on the mitzvah of tzedakah, why don't we make a bracha? And many of the reasons that we've explained here apply there as well. But maybe the person to whom you want to give the tzedakah will not accept the tzedakah, so you shouldn't make the bracha. Maybe the person that you're giving that you want to give the tzedakah to is not deserving of the tzedakah, or maybe also a person who requires tzedakah is a person that is in a bad place, and we don't make a bracha on something that comes because of such a situation. But the Kli Chemda gives another explanation, that on any mitzvah that applies to Nochrim as well, we don't make a bracha. And he says that the halacha is that brachas, that the halacha is that tztaka is something that the B'nai Noach also have to give. They have to think about other people. And therefore, since it's something that applies to the B'nai Noach as well, we don't make a bracha. And furthermore, amongst the Zayin mitzvahs Bnei Noach are dinim. The definition of dinim is that there should be a system of civil law and civil courts. If that's the way we understand, so now it's understandable why we don't make a bracha on B'tzadik Tishpan HaMasecha and Din Torah, because it's something that applies to Akum as well, and anything that applies to Akum as well, to Bnei Noach as well, we don't make a bracha. As to Gemara, that now that we've established that you have to have three dayanim, maybe when we have three regular people who don't have smicha, and we're learning that they may be appointed to do a din Torah, why should we not be concerned that all of them are yoshvi kronos? Answers the Gemara, yefshur delespu chadagomer. When you have three people, it's invariable that one of them will be qualified to be a dayan. So of course, the Rishonim ask, if that's the case, why is that going to be acceptable? If we need three, and one is a person that is the gomer, but we have to have three dayanim. And the answer that they give is that really, Midrash says, we're learning now, one dayan is satisfactory. That's the way Ramei Simcha, the Or Simech, understands the Gemara. We're learning now, but Tzadik Tishpat HaMesecha, that one dayan is satisfactory. Yes, we want three, but if we have one that is knowledgeable, that is enough to make it into a kosher din Torah. Elamata, so if that's the case, that anybody could be a dayan, we go back for these types of Dine Torah. We go back to the question we asked a little while ago, Tol or Yishmo, if they make a mistake, they shouldn't have to pay because they're allowed to paskin. Answers the Gemara, Kol Shkein Nefishi Yashikronis. We're concerned that if we're going to let anybody paskin, then it'll be a real concern that anybody will be a dayan, and people who can make mistakes and do make mistakes will end up being dayanim. Ask the Gemara. Mayaka ben Rav l'Ravacha b'Rei d'Reka. Both of them agree that for Alvos and Alvos, we could have three non-mumchim to be dayanim. Answers the Gemara, Ikav v'nai dam Shmuel. Shmuel teaches us throughout Shas, Shnayim Shadonu d'Neim Din, that really two dayanim are satisfactory. However, El Shenikra Bez Mechotzev. Chazal didn't want, as we say it, even number of dayanim. L'Rava, who says that Leslie the Shmuel, Rava, who's been learning that you have to have three dayanim midaraisa, it's nothing to do with what Shmuel said. The Torah and these din Torahs require three dayanim. Rach Reider Avika is like the Shmuel. He holds the Shmuel because he holds really only have to have two dayanim. You only have to have one dayan. Chazal said you have to have three, but he'll agree with Shmuel that b'di'evid two are okay. Now that we have established as a very big machloikis achroinim, we've established that for these dine Torahs of Eidos of us, three dayanim are enough, but and one has to be gomer, one has to be knowledgeable. So what would be the halacha if you have these three dayanim, and the one that is a gomer, the one that's somewhat knowledgeable, paskins one way, and the two other dayanim, who are the individuals who are not knowledgeable, paskin the other way. So now the question is, under normal circumstances, we follow Rav, we follow the majority. But in this case, the majority are the people who are not knowledgeable. So the Shvus Yaakov says, it doesn't make a difference. Once the halacha established that you have to have three dayanim, and one has to be gomer v'savor, one has to be somewhat knowledgeable, and the other two do not have to be knowledgeable, the halacha that we learn all over, that we follow the Rav, is the halacha that we're going to have to follow now as well. Others, the Taz seems to disagree. Taz says, we're specifically looking for someone who is gomer v'savor, for someone who's knowledgeable, because he needs to lead the Din Torah. And if we're not going to follow his opinion, that means we only follow the opinion of people who are not knowledgeable. And he says it's unacceptable that we should be following the opinion of somebody who's not knowledgeable. The Sefer Meir Shloyach says, now we understand that whenever we bench, and we want to bench Bezimun, we have to have three people. Why do we have to have three people? He says, just like in our Gemara, we're learning that you have to have one dayan that's gomer v'savor, but that is not enough. We want to have two other people, even though not Talmid Chachamim. But why do we have two other people? Because we want to have many opinions. And when you have many opinions coming together, then that is something that shows that many different people and many different opinions coming together for one purpose has a chshivas. It's considered significant. And that's why when three people sit together to eat and they represent three different individuals and then they come together to bench Hashem, that's something that is very important. The Taisus Yontif explains, Shmuel says, Shneim Shadonu Dineim Din, El Shenikru Bezdin Chotzuf. He explains, why is that the case? He says, because when you have three dayanim, and the psak comes out that this person is guilty, he'll never know who said this way, who said another way. If there are only two dayanim, then what? It's a whole different situation. Because when you have one saying guilty and one saying innocent, that person doesn't have the ability to be confident that what he's saying is true, because nobody else is agreeing with him. In other words, everybody says an opinion when we have a din Torah, we have the dayanim. But a person, in order for to be confident that his opinion is right, has other people agree with him. If somebody is so confident that what he's saying is right, just because I believe that way, that's called a chotzev. So in order that the people, in order, says the Tosfos Yontif, that the members of the Bezdin should not be called mechutzofim, that I'm so confident that what I say, that I don't need anybody to support me, that's why we should have three dayonim, and therefore the one, the psak that will be the psak, will never be a psak that came through an individual who's a chotzef, that has that level of confidence that I am always right. Continues the Gemara. Nezek v'chatzi nezek. We learned in the Mishnah that nezek are and chatzi nezek are with three dayonim. Answers the Gemara, asked the Gemara, nezek hane chavolos. So is it nezek chavolos? Why was it necessary to mention both? Answers the Gemara, shun debay letzni chatzi nezek. Because we want to mention chatzi nezek, so therefore the Mishnah also mentioned tani nami nezek shalim. But asked the Gemara, chatzi nezek, which as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, is when a short time, an animal that hasn't done damage three times does damage, pays chatzi nezek. So nami hane chavolos, isn't that too an example of damages? Answers the Gemara, tani memoina v'tani kenosa. The Mishnah speaks about a chavolos, which represent a financial obligation, and it speaks about a knas. And this refers back to Gemara that we learned in Masechta Baba Kama at the beginning of Masechta Daf Tezvov. Says the Gemara, hani chleman dama, palganeska knas. The Gemara over there quotes the opinion of Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua that say that animals normally, until their animal tzatam, is not one that will do damage. And therefore, if it did damage, you should not be chayiv at all. The reason you're chayiv, the Torah made a knas. El mandamar, but according to the mandamar, which is Rapapa's opinion, that says that even animals that are tam, their nature is to do damage. And really, they should have to pay nezek sholem. And the Torah, for whatever reason, said chatzi nezek is going to be sufficient. So our teretz that we just gave falls away. We just said that the reason, Michael Amema, we just said that the reason the Mishnah mentioned, the reason to mention chatzi nezek. Nezek sholi is because chatzi nezek. And why was chatzi nezek singled out? Because chatzi nezek is a knas. That's only if you hold the chatzi nezek is a knas. But if you don't hold the chatzi nezek as a knas, we're back to our question, why aren't nezek and chatzi nezek included in chavolos? Answers the Gemara, the Karboil and Mr. Teshlumei Kefa, Teshlumei Abba Chamisha, the Mamun She'enim Ishtam Baroishu. When we speak about Kefa, we speak about Dalav Ahei, it's not paying for the amount that was damaged. It's more. It's Kefa, it's double. It's Abba Chamisha, four or five times as much. Tani nami chatzi nezek. So the Mishnah also mentions chatzi nezek, which is also an example of mamon sheinu mishtam b'roish. You're paying less than the damage. And now continues the Gemara. V'ayri the Kabbalah mister chatzi nezek. Once chatzi nezek is mentioned, tani nami nezek is mentioned as well. So we learned when we began the Masechta dine mamonis b'shloisha. Ask the Gemara shloisha menolon. From where do we know that halacha? The Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa says when somebody claims that the begotten that he was asked to wash was stolen. The pasuk says, "V'nikra balabayis elohim, harei kan achad." That's one dying. Then the pasuk says, "Ad elohim yovid v'ashneim, harei kan shneim." That's the second dying. And then the pasuk says, "Asher yishino elohim, harei kan shloisha." That gives us three dayonim, divrei rabbeisha. That's the opinion of rabbeisha. Rabbi Yonasan disagrees. He says, "Rishon." The first time the Torah uses the word Elohim in the Torah, Tchila Nember. It's just to teach us the basic halacha, that we have to have Elohim, that the Dayanim we have to be Mumchim. Vein Darshan Tchilas. And therefore it's not available for any other drasha. Rather, how do we get to the number three? The Pasuk says, Er Elohim Yavad Veshnayim Harekan Echad, is one Dayan. Then the pasuk says, "Asher yishin olahim harei ken shnayim," is the second dayan, and then we have the rule of ein kan bezdin shakel, the mesifim lahim oid echad. That's why we should always have an odd number, and therefore harei ken shloisha will end up with three dayanim. So, ask the Gemara, Neima, should we suggest that this question, that this machloikus that we have between Rabbi Yosher and Rabbi Yonasan about darshan tchilas, kamifki, that's the machloikus that is the basis of the machlokes. The Masover, Rabbi Yishai's opinion is darshan tchilas, and therefore the first time the Torah mentions Elohim can be used to teach us how many dayanim we need to have. Umar, whereas Rabbi Yonason's opinion is eshen and darshan tchilas is not available for that, and since it's not available, we don't have that pasuk to teach us how many dayanim we need. Says the Gemara Loi, it could well be the kol alma ain't darshan tchilas, that we never learned the first pasuk. So why over here is Rabbi Yishai comfortable to, yes, learn from the first pasuk? Amalek Rabbi Yishai says, if the purpose of the first pasuk is just to teach us that we need to have dayanim mumchim, but it's not here to teach us how many dayanim we need to have, imkei nemakrov nikra balabayis ela shayfet, and that would be adequate to teach us that we need a dayan mumcha. My elohim, why did the Torah go out of its way to use the word Elohim? Shmamina, that it's here to teach us minyana. Says the word Rabbi Yonason, that Rabbi Yonason that doesn't use the first Elohim to teach us how many dayanim we have to have, why doesn't he agree with what Rabbi Yoshi just said, that the word Elohim is not the type of word that the Torah would normally use, and shouldn't it be here to teach us also how many dayanim we have to have? Says the Gemara, Lishna da Alma Nakut. He's saying the word Elohim is acceptable because k'amri inchi, like people say, mande isle dina, mande isle dina. Somebody has a dispute, lekerv legabe dina, and that's the way people speak. And I saw that Demri Emes indeed says the Rabbi Yonason is the man the omer throughout Shas that says dibre Torah ke loshem b'nei adam. That's the way people normally speak. And Elohim is the way he says people express themselves when they want to speak about Dayanim. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yishai, Lesle Bezdin Noita. According to Rabbi Yishai, we need to have three Dayanim. And if we didn't have three Psukim teaching us that we need three Dayanim, we wouldn't require three Dayanim. But ask the Gemara, could that be? Lesle, does Rabbi Yishai not agree that we have to have Bezdin Noita? We have to have a bezdan where we can have a majority. The Torah teaches us, you have to make a bezdan with an odd number of people that you could have a psak that's based on the majority. So it should be enough that the Torah should say twice, two dayanim, and automatically we would know we would have to have a third. Answers the Gemara. Sava like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yishai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that taught in the Mishnah that Shivim, that 70 Dayanim, which is an even number. So we see that there is no requirement to have an odd number of Dayanim. The Tanan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Sanhedrin Gedolei Leitzer Shishim Ve'Echad, the Tanakhama said it was 71, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it was Shivim. So we see that there's no problem with an even number. Ask the Gemara, Ema, the Shavim Leila Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you had 70 members of the Sanhedrin. That's by the Sanhedrin Gedolah, the Ksivi Kra, because the Pasuk says 70. But how do we know Bishad Beit Dina and other Dinei Torah, Mishamed Lei, do we hear that he said that an even number is satisfactory? So the way I saw the Ran explains the Gemara. What the Gemara means to say is that, of course, we have to have an odd number of dayanim. What the Gemara means to say here is that when the Torah goes out of its way, Rabbi Yehuda means to say, is when the Torah goes out of its way and says that an even number is okay, so there an even number is satisfactory. Because the Torah said that. And there's no questions of what the Torah says explicitly. But everywhere else, you're going to have an odd number. You're going to have an odd number. And if you'll say that that's not the way to learn, and loishna, that there's no difference between the Sanhedrin Gedolah and other dayanim, for tonight we just learned in our Mishnah, smichas akeinim varifas egla b'shloisha divir Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda ben b'chamisha, v'armin in my time with Reb Yehuda, what does Reb Yehuda say that? Because the pasuk says, samchu shnayim, zikne shnayim, which represents four dayanim, and then we have a rule that ain't bezdin shakel. We can't have an even amount, and therefore, masifin le'echad, Harei Kan Chamisha, we have five Dayanim. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara Masechet Yevamos is very powerful. Because if we think about this Dentaira, we think this is not a regular Dentaira where there could be different opinions. Yet the Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says, I want an odd number. So why does Rabbi Yishir need three psukim? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yishir is different from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yishir is stronger in his position than Rabbi Yehuda. Dila Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is Sanhedrin Gedolei Yehuda Leslei, but it's Sanhedrin Gedolei, he doesn't need an odd number. Habasha Bei Dina Islei, by all other Dina Torah, he will require an odd number. Rabbi Yishir's opinion is, that B'Shah Bei Dina and all Dina Torah, Nami Leslei, you don't need to have an odd number. Just because the Torah says Elohim three times, that's why we have an odd number. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Ella, when the Torah says, Acher Rabbim Lahatis, that we have to be able to have a majority, my Avadlei, what will Rabbi Yishir do with that pasuk? Rabbi Yishir says you can have an odd number. Says the Gemara, Mukal Hebedin and Nefashis. He's going to say that by Din and Nefashis, you have to have an odd number. Abedin and Mamanis loy, by not by Din and Mamanis. So the way that we show him explain why Adin and Nefashis different than Din and Mamanis, because by Din and Nefashis, there's somebody that's going to be guilty and somebody that's going to be innocent. And in order to say somebody is guilty, it has to be a roiv, it has to be a majority. When we have Din and Mamanis, there's no winner or loser. There's a winner or a loser, but there's no reason that one person is better than the other person, and therefore this halacha doesn't apply. El Hara Tanan asked the Gemara, we're going to learn on Daf Chav Tes Omer Aleph. Shnayim Amar Zakai Echra Mechayiv. Then he's Zakai, he's innocent. Shnayim Amar Mechayiv Echra Mechayiv, name of the Loik Rabbi Yishir. Should we say that it's not following the Rabbi Yishir? Because according to Rabbi Yishir, we don't need to have, it's not because we not need a majority. The reason is because that's what the Torah says. And says, the Gemara, feel time Rabbi Yishir. That halacha could apply according to Rabbi Yishir. Maisala, kavachoy medin and nefashis. Or madin and nefashis, the chamiri. If din and nefashis that are more strict than din and nefashis. Am rachman azul basaruba, we follow the roiv, as the Torah says, achiram lahatas, din and nefashis. Din Mamanis, which is not as serious, like Hoshkein, that we follow the Rav. So that's why we say that even by Din Mamanis, you can have the Rav. In other words, the Gemara's question is, if Rabbi Yishir has been teaching us that the Torah says the word Elohim three times, and therefore you have to have three Dayanim, the halacha should ought to be that you should have to have all three Dayanim agreeing to one position. And Rav should not be satisfactory. Yet we're going to learn, ask the Gemara, that even by Dine Mominus, Roiv is satisfactory. And says Rabbi Yishir, if by Dine Nefashis, Roiv is satisfactory, Dine Mominus, certainly Roiv is satisfactory. To which the Rishonim ask a question. We know throughout Shas that Ein Hochem Mominach Roiv. So why are we saying that if Dine Mominus, by Dine Nefashis, Roiv is satisfactory. By Dine Mominus, certainly Roiv is satisfactory. It's not true. By Dine Mominus, there's a rule of Ein Hochem Mamon Acher Roiv. So Tosfos in Masechta Baba Basra says there are many different types of Roiv. The normal case of Roiv is indeed, as we understand, a majority. We follow the majority, two against one. But in a Besdin, that's not the way to understand the majority. In other words, when we say Beidin and Mamanus throughout Shas, Ein Hochem and Mamanach Roiv, we don't follow what is usually the case when we decide an issue of Din and Mamanus. But when we speak about a Besdin, and the Besdin Paskin, three Dayanim, two against one, the way the Halacha looks at it, it doesn't look at it, well, two said one way, and one said the other way, and we're going to follow the majority. It becomes the psak of the Besdin. It becomes the psak of all three. And therefore, and that's why the Gemara says that when a Din Torah is over, the Dayan who disagreed with the majority is not allowed to say, well, I disagreed, but what can I do? I lost. That's not the way the Halacha views this. The Halacha views this that we have a Besdin,
and a Bezdin deliberates, and after the Bezdin deliberates, we follow the majority, and becomes the psak of all of them, not just the psak of the majority. And therefore, that's not a situation of roiv. Roiv is when it's just the roiv, and ayin hocham mamon achar roiv. A Bezdin majority doesn't represent roiv. A Bezdin's majority is the entire Bezdin.